19:5. The history of creation, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Chapter 14, verse 1 to 29. The way, the truth, and the life. Verse 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and where you know. Thomas said to him, "Look, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the words. Believe me, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you or orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I leave. You will leave also. That you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments will keep them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the world which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I know that it is right. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, so I do arise. Let us go from here.
As we're about to hear God's word, let's see. Can you hear me? We read the whole chapter of John chapter 14, but unfortunately I won't be able to finish it. We'll be doing justice to explain every verse, because I realize that verse 6, that Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. This verse itself requires at least 3 hours for me to explain it, so please forgive me. And I know that your minister, Pastor Paul, has gone through the series of John, you guys. And so I hope that this sermon will refresh your memories and hopefully give you some fresh insights. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for so many things that you have given us graciously. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. And Lord, right now in this moment, we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to see the glory of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that the Spirit will open our eyes that we may see that how he is the Holy One of Israel, how he is set apart above everyone else. Lord, help us right now in this. So we pray all these things for your glory, the glory of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, we hope every for the gospel to say, Amen. The 21st century, the century of postmodernism. What is postmodernism? Postmodernism says that truth is relative. Faith is subjective. There's no one right way. All roads lead to Rome. Every religion is equally true. If you say it's true, then it's true to you. Truth is personal. Truth is individual. Truth is a social construct. It doesn't exist. Everything is relative. Very interesting that people say that there's nothing absolute. They say what they say absolutely. So it's a time that we Christians live in that will get into trouble if you consistently live out your Christian faith. So if living as a Christian is difficult and will not give you any social benefits, and on top of that, you already have other troubles in marriage, in career, and studies. At some point, you might ask yourself, why am I still a Christian? Or if you are a non-believing visitor, the question you ask yourself is, why should I become a Christian? Being a Christian gives me troubles. I get nothing out of it. Why can't I become a Buddhist, an atheist, a Muslim, a Hindu? Why Christian? Why should I put my faith in Jesus Christ? Why can't I trust in somebody else? Why not Socrates, Karl Marx, Jordan Peterson, or some celebrity? Why Jesus? So as we compare the troubles and the alternatives, We can ask ourselves this question. Who is Jesus? What's so special about him? How is Jesus Christ worth all my faith and life commitment? Because Jesus said to his disciples in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And in verse 27 he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's so many things, so many reasons for disciples to be afraid. Now, first of all, in the previous chapter, Jesus foretells that Peter, the leader of the 12 disciples, is going to deny Jesus for 3 times. And Judas is going to betray him. And in the next chapter, chapter 15, Jesus says that the world will oppose you. And even Jesus himself is leading the disciples to be crucified. So what is it about Jesus that can calm their heart? Who then is he? Based on John chapter 4 in verse 6, I'm going to divide the sermon into 3 messages. At first, we're going to look at the way. Now, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I might go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He'll say, don't be worried, I'm leaving you, the great ascension. Because I'm going to the Father to prepare for us a home that we may live together. And one of his disciples, Thomas, is a skeptic. They call him the doubting Thomas. And Thomas asks, Lord, where are you going? What is your destination? How do we get there? It's like using GPS. Right? Using GPS, it's not your Google Map. You just know your starting point. And then your destination to know the direction. And Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus just said has never been said and will never ever be said by anyone else who lives on this planet Earth. No one speaks like this. No one dare to say it. No one has the reality to say it. A mere human being just cannot say, I am the way. It's like speaking with an accent. Everyone has an accent. From the way I speak, without looking at my appearance, you might guess Benjamin is either wrong. Are originally from Malaysia, from Singapore, the same with Brian, Dory, Patrick, and Audrey, right? We Asians, we speak with a similar manner, a pattern with an accent. And some of you from Europe, Russia, from the States, and most of you are from Australia, New Zealand, and the West, Aussie accent. But Jesus speak with an accent that is not from you. John chapter 3 says, the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speak as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven speak as one from heaven. And elsewhere in John chapter 16, Jesus said, I come from the Father and I've come into the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And in this chapter, Jesus said, I am going to the Father to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back again here to bring you there. Jesus prepares salvation with a two-way direction. From there to here, from here to there. With all respect for other religions and their founders, but Jesus Christ is set apart from every religious founder. No one ever said, "I am the way." Confucius never said it. Buddha never said it. Muhammad never said it. The Pope never said it. Moses never said it. Confucius said, if only I can find the way in the morning, I can finally die in peace in the evening. 逃文道,西斯可以. Muhammad never said he is the way. In the first chapter of Quran, he prayed, "May the most merciful Allah guide us to the straight way." Even Moses in the Old Testament, in the Torah, he says, "Listen to the greatest prophet who is to come." He's prophesying Jesus. Buddha Shakyamuni never said he is the way. The Buddhists will tell you that Buddha is not a person to be worshipped. It's a mind state to be attained. No religious leaders ever say that I am the way. All religious leaders speak from a one-way direction, from here to there, with good intentions. They look at this broken world full of their diseases, depressions. They want to give people religious hope to break through the curse of Genesis 3. So the destination, the goal to be God, heaven, paradise, or nirvana. The starting point is from here, and the destination is over there. It's a one-way direction from the human world. But Jesus gives us a two-way direction from God to human and human to God. Jesus gives us the basis of our assurance, the foundation of our faith, because our destination is His origin. His origin is His destination. He has been there. He is from there. And He can bring us there, to God. He's authorized to do so. And if you would ask other religions, respectfully and lovingly, how do you know? How do you know your religion will work? What if it doesn't? Because all religious founders, they are not from there. They have not been there, and they have not arrived. Even if they do, they all did. They can't come back alive and verify. So how do you know what you believe is right? What is your way? What is your methodology? To know what is right and wrong. How can we test your true claim? It's very uncertain, like trial and error from experience, traditions, from struggles, because it's a one-way direction. But Jesus speaks with a certainty. He says, "I am the way, the great I am. I am who I am." Let's be fair. Let us all be skeptical for a moment. Okay, like Thomas. We ask Jesus, "Jesus, how do we know what you say is right? That you are the way from God and to God?" Everyone look at verse 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Just look at the works of Jesus Christ, his mission, his ministry, his miracles, his signs and wonders in the gospel. His miracles are like signposts that point to verify his teachings and his identity. The four gospels are eyewitnesses, historical documents that record what has actually happened in the history. It's not like his counterpart with the Greek and the Roman mythology in Jesus' time. The Greek and the Roman mythology, they are like heroes of Marvel and DC comics. The Greek and the Romans are, for example, Zeus, Poseidon, Athena, Medusa. They're gods with superpowers and miracles, but they are not real. They never happened in history. They are myth. But not with Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can trust in him and his promise. When he says, I'm from the Father, and I'll bring you to God, the Father, because Jesus confirms what he says with signs and wonders. His signs reveal that his origin is from God and is equal to God. If you read this chapter carefully, there are three statements that Jesus says that he is equal with the Father and will get into all sorts of trouble. Firstly, Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. Secondly, he says, if you know me, you know my Father also. And thirdly, he says, anyone who sees me, sees my Father. No religious leaders have come close to saying these things. The difference between Jesus versus everyone else is a qualitative difference between a creator and his creation. It's not a quantitative difference, as in every religious founder sitting around the table as equals, and then competing and attracting more followers with a better moral teaching. Now, the qualitative difference lies in their origin. Jesus Christ is the way. For next section, we look at the truth. Religion seeks the way. Philosophy seeks the truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No philosopher or any great thinkers has ever said, I am the truth. Consider Confucius, a great thinker of the Oriental philosophy. Confucius never said, I am the truth. Instead, he says, if I know, I say I know. If I don't know, then I say I don't know. And that is the true knowledge. Confucius is very humble. Now consider Socrates. Socrates is considered the founder and the father of the Western philosophy. Socrates never wrote any books. And all of his teachings have been written by his student Plato. Socrates is so influential that one philosopher says that all of our current philosophical discussions are only a footnote to Plato's writings. And Plato wrote of Socrates. That's how important he is. You can read Plato's classic called the Apology. If someone would ask Socrates, Mr. Socrates, what is your secret of being the wisest of all who understand the truth? What do I need to know to become as wise as you? And Socrates said, I only know one thing. Only one thing to know and tell the wisest. Tell me, what is it? The one thing I know is that I know that I know nothing. What a humble person. Because when you realize that you are ignorant, begin to learn and find the truth. These are great thinkers who are at the peak of philosophy, and they are humble seekers. I don't understand why some people learn a bit of philosophy and become arrogant and reject Christ. Because learning philosophy should make you humble. It raises a lot of questions, but gives very little answers. What is the meaning and the role of a philosopher? Truth lover. Philo means love, and sophy means wisdom or truth. So when you say that I seek the truth, I love the truth, that means you don't have the truth. That's why you need to seek it. You say, I love the truth, I seek the truth, I learn the truth, I teach the truth, I believe the truth, I proclaim the truth, I discover the truth, I die for the truth. That means you are not the truth. It's the same with science. The Latin word for science is seo. It means I know. Science is not the truth. Science discover the truth. In a scientific research method, you have a hypothesis to be proven. You presuppose the truth. And you have an experiment to collect sample size to test your hypothesis. Then in your conclusion, you wrote, I found the truth. Whether to accept or reject it based on 95% certainty. I'm not 100% sure. Very humble. Science is not the truth. Science is always changing because it's constantly being challenged by the latest discoveries. It's the same with politics. The ideologies are always changing. Even in the same party, from the same candidate, give different promises during election in different years. What can be changed is not the truth. Truth is unchanging and universal. Truth is applicable to all people across all time. For example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You can only choose to accept or reject it, but it's always there. Many scientists are devout believers, and they know that science is not the truth. They enjoy the discovery of God.
Now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me, and I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you or orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I leave. You will leave also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me. And I in you. He who has my commandments will keep them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the world which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to one give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do arise. Let us go from here.
As we are about to hear God's word, let's see. We read the whole chapter of John chapter 14, but unfortunately I won't be able to finish it. We'll be doing justice to explain every verse, because I realized that verse 6, that Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. This verse itself requires at least 3 hours for me to explain it, so please forgive me. And I know that your minister, Pastor Paul, have gone through the series of John with you guys. And so I hope that this sermon will be a refreshment, will refresh your memories and hopefully give you some fresh insights. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for so many things that you have given us graciously. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. And Lord, right now, at this moment, we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to see the glory of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that the Spirit will open our eyes that we may see that how he is the Holy One of Israel, how he is set apart above everyone else. Lord, help us right now in this sermon. We pray all these things for your glory, the glory of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. We hope every for the gospel to say, Amen. The 21st century, the century of postmodernism. What is postmodernism? Postmodernism says that truth is relative. Faith is subjective. There's no one right way. All roads lead to Rome. Every religion is equally true. If you say it's true, then it's true to you. Truth is personal. Truth is individual. Truth is a social construct. It doesn't exist. Everything is relative. Very interesting that people say that there's nothing absolute. Say what they say, absolutely. So it's a time that we Christians live in that will get into trouble if you consistently live out your Christian faith. So if living as a Christian is difficult and will not give you any social benefits, and on top of that, you already have other troubles in marriage, in career, and studies, at some point, you might ask yourself, why am I still a Christian? Or if you are non-believing, the question you ask yourself is, why should I become a Christian? Being a Christian gives me troubles. I get nothing out of it. Why can't I become a Buddhist, an atheist, a Muslim, a Hindu? Why Christian? Why should I put my faith in Jesus Christ? Why can't I trust in somebody else? Why not Socrates, Karl, Jordan Peterson, or some celebrity? Why Jesus? So as we compare the troubles and the alternatives, we can ask ourselves this question. Who is Jesus? What's so special about him? How is Jesus Christ worth all my faith and life commitment? Because Jesus said to his disciples in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's so many things, so many reasons for disciples to be afraid. Now, first of all, in the previous chapter, Jesus foretells that Peter, the leader of the 12 disciples, is going to deny Jesus for 3 times. And Judah is going to betray him. And in the next chapter, chapter 15, Jesus says that the world will oppose you. And even Jesus himself is leading the disciples to be crucified. So what is it about Jesus that can calm their heart? Who then is he? Based on John chapter 4, in verse 6, I'm going to divide 7 3 messages. At first, we're going to look at the way. Now, verse 1, let all your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back Again, I beseech you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, don't be worried, I'm leaving you, the great ascension. Because I'm going to the Father to prepare for us a home that we may live together. And one of his disciples, Thomas, is a skeptic. They call him the doubting Thomas. And Thomas asks, Lord, where are you going? What is your destination? How do we get there? It's like using GPS. Right? Using GPS, it's not your Google Map. You just know your starting point and then your destination to know the direction. And Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes to Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus just said has never been said and will never ever be said by anyone else who lived on this planet Earth. No one speak like this. No one dare to say it. No one has the reality to say it. A mere human being just cannot say, I am the way. It's like speaking with an accent. Everyone has an accent. From the way I speak, without looking at my appearance, you might guess Benjamin decided from. Are originally from Malaysia, from Singapore. Same with Brian, Dory, Patrick, and Audrey, right? We Asians, we speak with a similar manner, a pattern with an accent. And some of you from Europe, from Russia, from the States, and most of you are from Australia, New Zealand, and the West, with an Aussie accent. But Jesus speak with an accent that is not from you. John chapter 3 says, the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speak as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven speak as one from heaven. And elsewhere in John chapter 16, Jesus said, I come from the Father and I've come into the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going Father. And in this chapter, Jesus said, I am going to the Father to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back again here to bring you there. Jesus prepares salvation with a two-way direction. From there to here, from here to there. With all respect for other religions and their founders, but Jesus Christ is set apart from every religious founder. No one ever said, I am the way. Confucius never said it. Buddha never said it. Muhammad never said it. The Pope never said it. Moses. Confucius say, if only I can find the way in the morning, I can finally die in peace in the evening. Muhammad never said he is the way. In the first chapter of Quran, he prayed, may the most merciful Allah guide us to the straight way. Even Moses in the Old Testament, in the Torah, he says, listen to the greater prophet who is to come. He's prophesying Jesus. Buddha Shakyamuni never said he is the way. The Buddhists will tell you that Buddha is not a person to be worshipped. It's a mind state to be attained. No religious leaders ever say that I am the way. All religious leaders speak from a one-way direction, from here to there, with good intentions. They look at this broken world full of their diseases, depressions. They want to give people religious hope to break through the curse of Genesis 3. So the destination, the goal to be God, heaven, paradise, or nirvana. The starting point is from here, and the destination is over there. It's a one-way direction from the human world. But Jesus gives us a two-way direction from God to human and human to God. Jesus gives us the basis of our assurance, the foundation of our faith, because our destination is His origin. His origin is His destination. He has been there. He is from there. And He can bring us there, to God. He's authorized to do so. And if you were to ask other religions, respectfully and lovingly, how do you know? How do you know your religion will work? What if it doesn't? Because all religious founders, they are not from there, they have not been there, and they have not arrived. Even if they do, they all did. They can't come back alive and verify. So how do you know what you believe is right? What is your way? What is your methodology? To know what is right and wrong. How can we test your true claim? It's very uncertain, like trial and error from experience, traditions, from struggles, because it's a one-way direction. But Jesus speaks with a certainty. He says, I am the way, the great I am. I am who I am. Let's be fair. Let us all be skeptical for a moment. Okay, like Thomas. We ask Jesus. Jesus, how do we know what you say is right? That you are the way from God and to God. Everyone look at verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? The Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Just look at the works of Jesus Christ. His mission, His ministry, His miracles, His signs and wonders in the gospel. His miracles are like signposts that point to verify His teachings and His identity. The four gospels are eyewitnesses, historical documents that record what has actually happened in the history. It's not like His counterpart with the Greek and the Roman mythology in Jesus' time. The Greek and the Roman mythology, they are like heroes of Marvel and DC comics. The Greek and the Romans are, for example, Zeus, Poseidon, Athena, Medusa. They're gods with superpowers and miracles, but they are not real. They never happened in history. They are myth. But not with Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can trust in Him and His promise. When He says, I'm from the Father, and I'll bring you to God the Father, because Jesus confirms what He says with signs and wonders. His signs reveal that His origin is from God and is equal to God. If you read this chapter carefully, there are three statements that Jesus says that He is equal with the Father. and will get into all sorts of trouble. Firstly, Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Secondly, he says, if you know me, you know my Father also. And thirdly, he says, anyone who sees me, sees my Father. No religious leaders have come close to saying these things. The difference between Jesus versus everyone else is a qualitative difference between a creator and his creatures. It's not a quantitative difference, as in every religious founder sitting around table as equals, and then competing and attracting more followers with a better moral teaching. Now, the qualitative difference lies in their origin. Jesus Christ is the way. For next section, we look at the truth. Religion seeks the way. Philosophy seeks the truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No philosopher or any great thinkers has ever said, I am the truth. Consider Confucius, a great thinker of the Oriental philosophy. Confucius never said, I am the truth. Instead, he said, if I know, I say I know. If I don't know, then I say I don't know. And that is the true knowledge. Confucius is very humble. Now consider Socrates. Socrates is considered the founder and the father of the Western philosophy. Socrates never wrote any books. And all of his teachings have been written by his student Plato. Socrates is so influential that one philosopher says that all of our current philosophical discussions are only a footnote to Plato's writings. And Plato wrote of Socrates. That's how important he is. You can read Plato's classic called The Apology. If someone would ask Socrates, Mr. Socrates, what is your secret of being the wisest of all who understand the truth? What do I need to know to become as wise as you? And Socrates said, I only know one thing. Only one thing to know and become the wisest. Tell me, what is it? The one thing I know is that I know that I know nothing. What a humble person. Because when you realize that you are ignorant, you begin to learn and find the truth. These are great thinkers who are at the peak of philosophy. And they are humble seekers. I don't understand why some people learn a bit of philosophy and become arrogant and reject Christ. Because learning philosophy should make you humble. It raises a lot of questions but gives very little answers. What is the meaning and the role of a philosopher? Truth lover. Philo means love, and sophy means wisdom or truth. So when you say that I seek the truth, I love the truth, that means you don't have the truth. That's why you need to seek it. You say, I love the truth, I seek the truth, I learn the truth, I teach the truth, I believe the truth, I proclaim the truth, I discover the truth, I die for the truth. That means you are not the truth. It's the same with science. The Latin word for science is seo. It means I know. Science is not the truth. Science discover the truth. In a scientific research method, you have a hypothesis to be proven. You presuppose the truth. And you have an experiment to collect sample size to test your hypothesis. Then in your conclusion, you wrote, I found the truth. Whether to accept or reject it based on 95% certainty. I'm not 100% sure. Very humble. Science is not the truth. Science is always changing because it's constantly being challenged by the latest discovery. It's the same with politics. The ideologies are always changing. Even in the same party, from the same candidate, give different promises during election in different years. What can be changed is not the truth. Truth is unchanging and universal. Truth is applicable to all people across all time. For example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You can only choose to accept or reject it, but it's always there. Many scientists are devout believers, and they know that science is not the truth. They enjoy the discovery of God's truth in God's creation, the natural world. Francis Bacon, the father of empirical philosophy, the scientific research method, I just described to you before him, and he's a devout Christian. Galileo Galilei, Johannes Kepler, the scientists who argue for heliocentrism, that the earth surrounds the sun, not the other way around. And despite being falsely persecuted by the Catholic Church, they remain a devout Christian to their death. Sir Isaac Newton, the scientist who discovered the principle, the law of gravity, is a devout Christian. Man even wrote commentaries. Everyone needs the truth. That's why we have education. We go to school to learn the truth. But what is it? What's the law, the principle, the truth that holds all knowledge together? So that the world we live in is not fragmentary and chaotic. It gives us the foundation to study in the first place. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus and Stoics, they look at the world. The world is a changing phenomenon, but they remain principles, they are changing. Something is maintaining and holding the universe together so that there is order instead of chaos for you to study. And they call this something which they don't know as logos. The concept of logos is so important in the Western culture. Just look at the word, logic is derived from it. We want our children, our government, our spouse to be logical. And logos is so embedded in our education system and every profession. Consider the suffix, the word that ends with logi and logis. So if you go to uni or work, to learn the truth, you look at the course selection, right? Go ahead and look. Ontology, biology, archaeology, physiology, psychology, pathology, criminology, etc. And when you graduate, you go to work, you become a biologist, archaeologist, physiologist, psychology, pathologist, criminologist, etc. Logi, 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 logis, logis, logis. The concept of logos is so important. But we don't know what that is. The same logos concept appear in the East, in Lao's thought of Tao. Even in postmodernism, everything is relative. Right? They believe that truth is contextual. Right? Imagine a web of relationship that truth is connected to different contexts and factors, such as history, race, gender, experience, education. But if you were to ask, what is at the center of the web relationship? What is the link, the hand that holds and connects these factors together so that truth is not fragmentary and disorderly, but holistic and meaningful to you as a person? Friends, there is no answer. But Jesus said, I am the truth. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the original Greek term that is used for word is logos. Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is God's Word in the flesh. God created the world through His Word, the Logos. In the beginning, or what you just read, Genesis 1, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. God speaks, and His Word, Logos, created all things. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "Christ is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." So when Jesus said, "I am the truth," He's giving a definite answer to the existential cry of all philosophy and culture. Christ is the Logos, the truth. If we were to write any papers, we should all cite Christ in our reference, because He's the final source of all truth. He's the one who reveals and upholds the truth. He's the Lord of every area of knowledge and life. The Lord of philosophy, of science, of religion, of education, of every part of culture. We look at the way, the truth, and finally, the life. Jesus said, "I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The term being used here is singular, so it's exclusive. Jesus says, "I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life." No one has ever said it. No one introduced themselves like it. No one has ever united all three different categories together to himself. The only person who does this in the history is Jesus Christ. And it's pretty groundbreaking, I'll show you. Compare modernism of our great-grandparents' generation with postmodernism of our generations that we live in. The two different eras. Modernism believes that the way to live, the way of living, that truth is objective. It's absolute, it's unchanging. Objective truth is not personal, it's propositional. It's binary, it's either black or white. It's either right or wrong. Now, postmodern is very good. It says some things like truth is unchanging. But modernism doesn't satisfy, erase some other problems, because it's missing something really important. I'll come back to this later. And now comes postmodernism that reacts against modernism. It's like a grown-up child that disliked their grandparents, the modernism. And so postmodernism says, no, life is very complicated, which is right. The way or the truth, however, they say, it's not objective. It's subjective, it's relative, it's contextual, it's relational, it's experiential, it's personal. But postmodernism, like modernism, doesn't fully satisfy. Because it wants you to have your own way, to find your own version of truth. But it doesn't tell you where and how to find it. Because it can't tell you that. It has to give you freedom for you to explore your own way and truth. So if you believe that there's no certainty in your life, you have to waste a lot of time and energy in trial and error, trying to find your own way and your own truth that will give you meaning, fulfillment, and a satisfaction of life. Could either be in sex, in marriage, in alcohol, in entertainment, in education, in politics, in philosophy, or anything in creation. The person who gave all this in the Bible is King Solomon. He's the one who has it all and weighs it all. And his conclusion in his pursuit of meaning in life is vanity of vanity. It brings him to deep depression. Because fleeting pleasures in these things cannot give you ultimate fulfillment in life. You can pretend to be, but you can't. C.S. Lewis, the author of Narnia, said this: "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Friends, I want to ask you this question: where do your desire for the way and the truth come from? where do you desire for the way the truth comes from? I'm not telling you yet how and where to find it. I'm asking, where did that desire even from? The desire for meaning, for perfection, for eternity, for infinity, for beauty that satisfies your life. These big, big concepts cannot come from us because our brain is so small that we live a limited, imperfect, and a temporary life. The Bible says you are made in the image of God. That's what separates you from animals, as lovely as they are. That's why what you desire is similar to the characteristics of God. To be more specific, you are made in the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Your desire for the way and the truth fill your life because He is the way and the truth. In other words, you are made for Jesus. And you can only find your life meaning, satisfaction, and fulfillment in Jesus. Why can't modernism and postmodernism fulfill your life? Because both systems make the same wrong assumptions. They both believe that the way and the truth is something that is weaker, lower, and lesser than a living person. I find the way. I seek the truth. I. So I'm the subject, subjective truth, and truth is the object, objective truth. I find the way and the truth. I take the initiative. I am the living and the active one to find the way and the truth that is passive, inanimate, a dead object that is lost somewhere else. I'm greater than the way and the truth because I find them and use them to fulfill my life. Now here's the thing. If the way and the truth is something I desperately need and something that can fill my life, then it cannot be that the way and the truth is something that is lesser than me. Because how can something that is lower, lesser, and smaller than me fulfill me? The way and the truth must be greater, higher, and stronger than me to fulfill me. So if I'm a living person, the way and the truth must not be something that something lesser than me to fulfill me, like a non-living person, a dead passive object. But where the truth must be a living person that is greater, stronger, and higher than me to fulfill me. Now you understand what Jesus means. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Three in one person. Jesus is the living way. Jesus is the living truth and the life itself that fulfills. Jesus transcends above modernism and postmodernism because the way and the truth that Jesus presented is not a dead, passive, non-person object that is lost. The gospel says it's the opposite. The way and the truth is a living person, the life itself, the subject, who take the initiative and actively seek out humanity, the object, that is ignorant, lost, and dead in sin. No one has connected all three elements to himself exclusively and invite everyone to himself inclusively. Think of the birth of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered, why was Jesus born in Israel? Why wasn't he born in, say, Australia, or Russia, or India, or Africa? Why Israel? Because Israel was considered back then as the center of the earth. So think of Jesus standing strategically at a crossroad of the East and the West. Oriental, the Middle East, are in general here, that the most of the major religions have their origin from the East, Oriental, the Middle East, the Asia continent. And the West care less about spirituality compared to philosophy. Historically, there's a stronger development in logic, reason, and research in the West. So to the religious East, who seeks the way in religion, Jesus said, "I am the way." To the philosophical West, who seeks the truth in philosophy, Jesus said, "I am the truth." And to everyone in general who seeks the life, Jesus says, "I am the life." He's the source of all life, the life of all life. All lives are created through this one life. He's the sustainer of everyone. He's the life, the Logos, the Word of God, who has eternal life. He's the ever-living one. Praise the Lord. Every religion cares about good and evil. Every philosophy cares about being wise and foolish. Every scientist cares about facts and errors. Every economy cares about gains and losses. Every politics cares about strength and weakness. But Jesus Christ cares about your life and death. Every religious leader, philosopher, politician, whatever, no matter how great, how important, how influential they are, in sin, you're dead and will die. But Jesus Christ is alive. He raised from the dead. His tomb is empty. And he promised eternal life for all who believe in him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For those who believe in Christ, there is a final green reaper. In this chapter, Jesus gives us three great promises. The promise of his presence, the promise of his life, and the promise of his peace. On the promise of his presence, Jesus said, "Where I am, you may also be." On the promise of his life, he said, "Because I live, you will also live." On the promise of his peace, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." For all who believe in what Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," are united with the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. In our union of life with Christ, not only do we have assurance of eternal life with Jesus Christ, we can also live an abundant life in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of worldly trouble. My dear friends, are you willing? Do you really know Christ as the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus stands at the end of all pursuits of religion, philosophy, and culture. Is the Logos. His destination is his origin in God the Father. To all religious people who seek the way, Jesus says, "Look at me." To all philosophical people who seek the truth, Jesus says, "Look at me." And to everyone else who seek abundant life and eternal life, Jesus said, "Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Because I'm the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one can come to the Father except through me." We're going to sing our final hymn this morning. That is hymn number 116, "Down from His Glory." So.